Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. That's awesome. You know, this is the way we do it. This is Talking Sports Plus, and my name is Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host. And I have on the line, I want to make sure my co-host introduce himself and say welcome and hello to you a little early tonight before we go through our primal stuff we need to do. First, we'll start off with Coach Tony Starward. Holler at him.
Hello, hello, listeners out there again. Glad to have you back. Glad to have you back.
It's good to have you back, my brother. Next will be the millennium lady of the show. That's Lauren, Coach Lauren Smith.
Good afternoon, everybody. Nice evening. I'm glad to be back this week.
All right, it's awesome. It's good to have you back, Lauren. You know, we missed you last week. We'll tell you that from the start. So we like to have that full team, but we need to have that millennium. And next we have here our man from the far, far north. That's Coach Tremaine Edwards. Talk to us, Trey.
How y'all doing tonight? How y'all doing? Glad to be here. Got some hot topics to discuss. Ready to start.
That's awesome and awesome. I'm glad each and every one of y'all was able to make it and be here. Now, our other coach of the airway, Darryl E., said he'll be running a little bit behind. He's going to try to make his knocks. You know, we'll make the show go on, and when he comes, we'll include him. If not, he'll be here next week. You know, we're with him, and he's with us. So we'll keep him in our prayers, whatever he needs to do, and take care. All right, Talking Sports Plus. The question is, why Talking Sports Plus? Because just talking sports is not enough. We must go way beyond the normal talking heads and talk about historical black colleges and universities, high school, middle school, athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. Now, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to conversate and join in with us, as my fellow co-host said, that, you know, we're going to have some outstanding topics, you can just press 1, and then we'll identify with the last 4 digits of your telephone number or cell number, and then we want you to come and join us and talk. Now, our web link to hear the show is www.blogtalkradio.com/LDIBertoSmithProduction. All right, team, let's kind of get started tonight. One of the first topics that we want to look at, and I want some discussion here, and it's dealing with historical black colleges and universities, sports. The question is, what's wrong with the historical black colleges and universities in Alabama in regards to football and their basketball program? And I want y'all to just jump on in there, and we're going to move forward with that point. All right, did I lose everybody?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, let's jump on in there. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Millennia. Okay.
The reason why is, in my opinion, it's just boring. It's no entertainment. It's boring. It's hard to watch. It brings nothing. It doesn't entertain me. I'd rather really sit home and watch something else on TV besides go to these games and waste my gas. Because it's nothing that attracts me. It doesn't, even at the football games, the band don't attract me. Nothing attracts me. Basketball games, the student body is there, so you don't have a student section. It's literally like crickets at Alabama State basketball game. I don't know how it is at Alabama Anna, but it's crickets at Alabama State basketball game. I think athletic department has to do better by advertising, broadcasting these games, because 9 times out of 10, we don't even know what they're playing, what night it is. We don't know anything. Entertainment value, blackout, whiteout. We don't know nothing. I think the athletic department has to do a better job.
I agree. I think the problem is that resources are not geared toward promotion. She's exactly right. A lot of times you can, I hate to use this word, you can fool a person to the facility by the things you said. I've gone to concerts sometimes and because of the advertising of the concert, and I might leave the concert and say, you know what, it wasn't as good as it was advertised, but I'm glad I came. So promotion and having resources to and making it a priority to promote the activity, and it should be some kind of way to generate, as Millennial Smith said, as a student product. You know, you go there, you don't have the student section. It lacks the whole flavor of being an atmosphere for athletics. Athletics is supposed to be one of those type things that everybody in the building ought to be competitive spirit, competitive mind, and whether you're in the game, if you understand, you're a part of the game. So until it gets to that level, it's just not. And then I'll tell you something else, too. Even when recruits come to your facility and don't see that, and I hate to use the word boring, but they're not, and boring is the word, they're just not impressed at all with that. And then when they go to another area, it can be a smaller D1 school, and see the excitement. I mean, when you're young, you like excitement.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. I've had this problem this year. I know we went through this problem this year at Alabama A&M. With the alumni, you know, the alumni chapter in Huntsville, we try to discuss ways to get people out to the games. It's very hard. One thing that we're doing at our HBCUs, I think we're overpricing the tickets to the game. What we're doing, we're jacking up prices and we're running people off. A thing that I see a lot of teams doing out of Alabama, like smaller schools, like to me, that don't have the clout of Alabama, Alabama State, Alabama A&M, like Jackson State, they stream their games online. So, you know, we look at it as, okay, if you're streaming the game online, why should I go? Well, the people at Jackson State, I'm having to watch the game when I had a prior event. You know, we playing at Alabama A&M, but I'm having to watch the game on Jackson State site. That's one thing I have a problem with, and I think that has something to do with the marketing of the school. But we have to give to get. I'm going to look at it like that. And I'm a righteous tailgate. You know, I'm a season tailgate, season ticket buyer at Alabama A&M. And it's just like it's not worth the money. We spend $450 for 4 games, and it's just not worth the money.
Well, it goes back to the quality of athletes you're putting out there, because you know if the price of that ticket was double or somewhat a third higher at an elite school, first thing you're gonna justify the product that's on the floor. So the product is on the floor, and you don't care as much about, because you feel like you're getting what you pay for. So I think what we have to be mindful of is HBCU is not going to, I'm going to say, have not gotten a high percentage of byproduct players to put out there. Therefore, I guess that takes away from the promotion. I'm looking at the negative side and the positive side. It's really not easy. promote, because I attended the game, and Dr. Smith myself attended the game, not calling a name, the other night. And we sat there and had a full conversation, literally on everything. And be perfectly honest with you, we did enjoy the game.
Oh, yes. But just to kind of add to that, co-host, as Coach Starr was saying, as well as Coach Smith and Coach Edwards, you know, if one thing state is the products you put on the floor, but marketing is another thing. Now, I noticed that a lot of time ASU talks about these various things, because I think they have military night, Greek night, they have church night, they have
right.
all kind of nights. But the problem I see with that is that they don't advertise to let you know what's going on. These things we ought to know in the beginning of the season. Personally, I think they should already have on the schedule. This is military night. This is Greek night. This is bring everybody free night or whatever you have. Because if you don't know these things, it creates some problems with you when you want to do it. And then to add one other thing to that, I have no problem with our Saturday games. Monday is a challenging time, because I have heard individuals say this, because Coach Starworth says each of the individuals online can tell you, sometimes them games will go to like 11 o'clock at night on Monday night, and you have to go to work on the next day. And then it'd be not exciting. For example, we attended a game, and it was like the conversation, as Coach Starworth said, we talked about everything, and the game was going on. And that's not a good sign. If we was carrying on that kind of conversation, somebody else was doing the same thing. And then you look up the stand, the students not supporting it. You know, the alumni and say, you know, it's just a challenge. And everybody can come, and people will come and say, well, it don't make no difference. That's your school. But the product you see on the floor, besides that, also actually how comfortable you are and whether you're having a good time. The band used to be in each one of these co-hosts can tell you. The band used to have the place rocking. Whether it's at Alabama A&M, whether it's up in Birmingham up there, one of the places, Alabama State, or wherever they played the game, the band had it rocking. So all of this is not gelling like it should, and this is what we're talking about. And how can we address this at our historical black colleges and universities so we can get the fans in the stand, get their meat in the seat, like we talk about. It ain't all about a ticket. Then one thing was said about a high-priced ticket. You know, the tickets get to be $10 and $12 and $15, and you go there and you be saying, man, we're going to see like Texas Southern beat them by 20-something points based on the scoring. And I'm like, come on, 30 points. It takes away from it. But, you know, any other thoughts on that you can share, co-host, in regards to either one of those things that was mentioned?
Well, the thing is, all of the things that are being missing are the things that will help recruiting, also will help coaches as well. You know, not having the type of spirit behind your back, you know, even when you're in a competitive game, I watch the coaches' body language sometimes in some of the games. And I watch the stands, and you see empty seats. And I'm not just talking about our own Alabama State University. I watch ABU on the network sometimes. But I give the coaches credit for at least taking the kids away from their home bases and putting them out into some of the big elite programs. And that's resourceful for the athletics finance as well. And giving them an opportunity to see how it's done. But I think who really needs to be out there is some of our fans to see how it's being supported at the other level, not just for the television, but just being in that arena and feeling that. And you got to have somebody in your athletics or activity. It may not have to be athletic. It could be activity. It could be student council getting together and try to promote, hey, let's get our athletics rolling. Let's support our athletics. You know, we know that the product we have on the floor, it may be marginal product, but if we can be that 3-4, the 6th man, to push what we have. Because a lot of times you have to get the most out of what you have. I'm a former coach. You know, you go out and recruit, you get what's left, you get the marginal players, some of them commit, last minute change their minds. All they got to do is go to another game and sit there and see that excitement, then all of a sudden they're going to decommit with you. So we got to pick up our atmosphere to promote the entire – let everybody take responsibility, not just coaches, for our programs getting better. It's a total commitment.
Okay, exactly. Again, that call-in number is 347-857-4192. If you want to join in the conversation, press 1, and we'll identify you with your last four digits of your cell or telephone number, and then you can just let us know who you are, where you're from. So let's kind of look at another topic, but we want to make sure we get all our information out on a timely manner. And the next topic is we're going to move to the Coach's Corner. And one of the topics that we didn't really finish discussing last week, and I put it back on our discussion topics today, was should Jalen Hurts, with the University of Alabama quarterback, transfer or stay to compete for the quarterback position? And I want the co-host to kind of jump in and kind of share their thoughts on that. We'll spend some time on that.
Well, I look at it like this. And it's always been a saying, a starting quarterback or a starter only loses his or her position when they're injured. He's not injured. Let's look at the whole situation. I think that if you look at one half of a contest as opposed to an entire season, you know, you don't win a game unless you can get there, a game of that magnitude. Hurst is a game manager. He has a high ratio of not turning the ball over. Turnovers in any sports gonna get you out of the game. Less turnovers keep you in the game. And I think two gonna be a great quarterback. I think he has an opportunity. But I think what you got there now is you got maturity versus versatility. And I think being the type of coach that Coach Saban in, the class of guy he is, find a way to utilize that both ways. I really don't think he has lost. I think he has to compete in order to maintain the level of play that he has done throughout his career there. He doesn't have to do any more. I think his numbers have shown his stability, and his play is going to make Tua a better quarterback anyway, because, you know, it's just like left arm and right arm, Dr. Smith. You know, one arm's going to be stronger than the other one. When they come together, then you got what you call a balance. So they can balance. He can balance those two and still be a monster, but a great team. First of all, to get along, that helps.
I'm gonna say this. I really think Jalen Hurts still has a chance. I'm gonna say that. I can't knock him out. I don't think he needs to change position. I think it's really too early to call that right now. I really think this quarterback battle this spring should be one for the ages. This is one of those ones like equivalent to the Coker and Sims. I think that's the competitiveness in this one. So we don't know which one is going to fall out. Now, if you let the media have it, they'll put it to it. But, you know, Nick Saban said that's rat poison. So I know he's feeding that to him right now. You know, they both going to have a fair chance. But with a new coordinator, I think this helps. Jalen Hurts, with a new coordinator coming in, that helps him. And I really think it's about instruction with Jalen Hurts. I think Lane Kiffin spoiled him as a quarterback, told him where to throw the ball. And the ball was more of a coach that you need to read the defenses. So it's all about who the coach is and how this coach feels that this quarterback will help the team. And the reason why Jalen Hurts was so stagnant this year, is they leaned on the defense a lot. So when the defense couldn't make stops, that's what made Jalen Hurts look bad. That's all I got on that.
Okay. No, Jalen Hurts is not even transferred. For what? What would be his reason? Because it's him and Tua, a lot of people say they're neck and neck. They're not neck and neck to me. Guy, he's been starting for you. This will be his third year starting. And you'll have what we call, he'll be, in my opinion, a freshman man. He ain't played six games straight. So you still fresh. And then you got a new offensive coordinator. So now it's all about who do you feel comfortable with? With the new offensive coordinator. I feel more comfortable with Jalen Hurts than I would do with Tua. That's just me. So Jalen Hurts needs to stay put. He needs to go out here and battle. He wanted to come to Alabama for a reason. Alabama is the type of school that's going to push you to the limit. He needs to allow himself to be pushed. And we're going to see it in the spring. It should be an amazing spring.
Well, I have some data. Every game that Tua has played in, he has had an interception, including the
interception.
Yep. So
that's some heck of a battle right there.
That's some heck of a battle. So you know, sometimes it's good to be in a situation where, you know, 3/4 of the job has been done.
And it's
good to be in a situation where you've had an opportunity to observe what has not been done, and that's why I say that you're looking at. Class versus versatility, and you put both of them together, you got something, you know. And Nick will get it done. Coach Saban will get it done. And like I said, there's a lot of cohesiveness between the two that the media cannot separate. And that's important too. Just like Millennium Smith said, you know, they're going to be. That's a good flavor, very good flavor. I love to have it as a coach.
I would too, Coach, for sure. Just to kind of add to that, I want everybody to think about the year before. Now, that was three top quarterbacks besides Jalen Hurts for Alabama, if y'all remember. Five stars. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts was a five-star coming in there, but they had three other quarterbacks. And where are they now?
They're all gone
because Jalen didn't even start the season 2 years ago.
Sure did.
Meaning first game. He came in there, and when he came in the game, he did exactly what was asked of him. So my point is, this is not a battle that's going to be new for Jalen. This is something old for him because he came there. The freshman had to fight, and he won, and everybody else left. Just know that everybody left. And to add one little thing to that, and we'll move to another topic. That young man has something about him that he has played 28 games and haven't been hurt yet. Sustainability. Football players that can take hits, cause, you know, or know how not to take a hit and stay healthy. I would not trade that for. I don't care how many touchdowns to the throw. Because I know he gonna stand up in the end because he haven't went down in 28 games. I don't know what's going to happen in the next season, but I know right now he improved that his durability is the greatest thing. Not that he don't turn the ball over, he don't get hurt. Think about last year. If he had a guy hurt in 16, what would have happened? You went back to the folks you didn't want anyway. But he stayed all season. He stayed healthy all this season. Talking heads and the pundits is talking about that every day. But they're talking about what Tua did in a half. But they ain't talking about that boy, that young man being healthy all year. And Alabama had a rash of injuries. Not just offense, they had defense and offense. And that fellow played the whole year. So Nick Saban is the type of coach I watch him, and he don't take risks. And you can say, everybody can say, well, that's wrong. But he got five championships at Alabama by not taking no risks. He took a risk the other night. But he wanted to win, too. So my point is, in regards to that, I just think that it's going to be a great battle, as each one of the co-hosts said. And each one of them got their plus. But the most important thing between the two is they got cohesiveness. They like each other. And when you like each other, you play with each other. So the point is very important that we're talking about. All right, let me also give you the call-in number. That's 347-857-4192. When you call in, press 1, and then I'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell telephone number, and then we'll ask you to identify yourself in your location. All right, let's look at something else in regards to transfer. It is graduate transfer rule good or bad for college sports? So we want to talk about that for a second or two. Is the graduate transfer rule good or bad for college sports?
Let me take the floor with this one. I think it's good because it helps a player out that's not getting playing time elsewhere to get a better look. Or that's in a situation like I use. I would use I'm gonna just use Jalen Hurts if he was a senior right now. If I'm him and I'm gonna throw a whole situation at you. If Jalen Hurts was a graduate junior, I'd say he graduated his junior year. If Tua started quarterback and I had nowhere to go, Jalen Hurts would be a hot commodity right now as far as to help anybody's school. Even if you have a linebacker that's not getting the time that he needs and as it participates with basketball. Now, in basketball, it makes a heck of an impact because I see a lot of guys that don't like where they're at and they come in playing like, I say Alabama State 1 year got a transfer from Auburn that helped them out a lot 1 year. Averaged probably about 17, 18 points. But he playing on another level. But I think that graduate transfer rule is a great rule, man.
Well, I think one thing about the graduate transfer rule is earned. That means that student-athlete has put in his or her time. And with that being said, is they fulfill their academic requirements, and it should be an option for them. You look at it, it's not a one and done. It's just, you know, here's the time, here's the span, this is what you've earned, and here's what you're allowed to do. I think it's something that just to say you sustain an injury as a junior, and you get back, you get redshirt, you got all that in. Hey, at least you got another chance. You know, it's a business now. They go to school for an education, but in the long run, it is a business. So you have to put those type things in there to allow them to get everything out of the university they can and an opportunity to at that level. Because when it's over, it's over. Ain't no looking back.
Exactly. All right.
Coach Bowers said that stuck out to me. He basically just said that athlete gave a school 4 years, which means they got a degree from that school. That's what we say. We say you go to school to get an education. Well, they got that. So now they want to pursue what their first, what they thought was first, which was athletic. So you shouldn't I don't believe in taking that away from them. Let them transfer. Let them go. Because Alabama just got a graduate kicker. The graduate kicker just signed to Alabama. He gave another school 4 years and said, okay, now I want to get to the NFL. A lot of times that's what it comes down to. The school that they did their 4 years at, they don't see themselves getting in the draft from that school. So they go to a school like Alabama. I've never seen this, but they go to a school like Kentucky, Duke, so they could go on to the next level and they could get that training that they need for the next level.
And just to add that there are many other players and that rule is a good option for someone that wanted to look into another field. Because if you graduate, for example, in chemistry, and you decide there's a university that's going to allow you to go into biomedical chemistry, but you don't have it at the school you're employed within that five to four, then you get a chance to go as a graduate student and work on your degree and also have a scholarship or whatever they give you, a graduate, whatever they give you, and move to the next level if you can move to the next. So it is awesome to have that opportunity. All right, we're going to move to a little bit of NFL, and we're going to try to tie two things into one. But the first one is, should the NFL continue playing the Pro Bowl? And I want to kind of start off with that one, if team, if you allow me to do it. You know, I think I watched about 2 minutes of the Pro Bowl. And the play that I saw, I just refused to watch it. And I'm sorry. If people can – now, I watched it. Super Bowl coming up here, but it was a kickoff. They kicked the ball off to the guy. The guy got the ball. It came running. Folks were standing up there playing flag football with him. And he scored a touchdown. It was number 22. And I can't remember what team. He just ran down and nobody tried to tackle him. And I'm like, is this a joke? I'm saying, wow, is it the Pro Bowl? What is this? So I saw it. And my point of view is I know they have it for revenue purpose or whatever they do, get these players a chance to celebrate. It was down in Orlando and everything. But my point is, if they're not going to play the game and they play it not to get hurt, then don't play the game. Because I'm not saying you play it to get hurt, but the way they play it, it's almost like they might well put on play flag football during that time. And we, team, you can jump in and share your thoughts about that, but that's just my thoughts about watching it.
Pro Bowl is a terrible game. It's a terrible game. It's a terrible game because you can't showcase a football game without having physicality. If you take the physicality out of football, you might well have like what they have in baseball, what they call home run derby. Mm-hmm. They have pass and catch derby. They let the wide receivers run deep and let the quarterback throw it as far as he can and call it a derby. Next thing is, exactly, the best players are in the game. The Super Bowl. So you don't have all of the players. So, and then you in competition with the Super Bowl, because Super Bowl is the next following week. So the timing is bad. The game is not real, real good, because every good person that likes football likes physicality, and there's not a lot of physicality in it. And players are playing to keep them getting hurt. You understand that. They're on the contract. And take basketball. Basketball has so much finesse. It's a showcase every night, even when you're just watching in competition, because that's the way it is. It can be an all-star game. That's all it is anyway at that level in the NBA. So what you're doing with that is just bringing all the stars together and put them on what? On one stage. But in football, you have to be careful how you bring a guy in that's a, should I say, big-time caliber defensive back or a linebacker. If he can't hit, he can't be in a game like that. So if you come in to see him, you're just not going to get the full quality of it.
I agree with Coach Stallworth. They need to ban it. I think they ought to do just a skills thing like they usually do with the quarterbacks.
Right.
And they're doing a great job with that. I say that with the skills challenge. Doing a lot more things. I think they need to incorporate an offensive lineman. Now, I'd rather see them do one-on-one than watch them play a game. You know what I'm saying? But like Coach Stallworth said, I think they ought to do a flag football game or something. But I think the Pro Bowl needs to be done away with. An all-pro team and give them their money that they would make at the Pro Bowl and be through with it. That'll be a bonus for the guys.
That's right. Just go ahead on.
Just give them a bonus.
This is 2018
yeah.
Pro Bowl. Listen to the paper. Listen on ESPN and move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody gonna get
just
hurt.
Nobody
get hurt going to the bank with a check.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's trip off the sidewalk.
Yeah, exactly. Just label them a all pro team and be through with it. I give them a bonus with labeling them that, but the Pro Bowl needs to be done. It needs to be done.
Coach, I agree with everybody. The Pro Bowl was so boring Sunday. It was boring, but I could have sat out there and watched these little kids out here while I live and throw the football. I swear it would be more entertaining than what I saw Sunday. The people you want to see in the Super Bowl, so they not playing, so I'm around here watching the subs. I don't want to see you say it was a waste of time, TV time. They could have put a college basketball game on instead of watching it. Get rid of that. It's not drawing up viewers. It was boring. Let's find something else to watch. Skills, I agree. The Skills Challenge too, just like they do it. The opening for Nike for the high school players, we do the same thing. I bet it'd be way more interesting than what I saw on Sunday.
Yep. Well, it's something to be addressed, and maybe they will. And I know the sponsors wouldn't like it, but it is something flag football may work better with. Let's look at Tom Brady. And the question I have is, what could Tom Brady gain or lose by playing in this NFL championship game? What can he get? We know he can win a championship, but can he lose some? Because if he lose the game, like he got 5, he didn't get the 6-1, he's 40 years old. Let's have some discussion about that.
Well, in all actuality, Tom Brady is in a situation now in the NFL championship game, as let's just call it, he has seniority and he's fully tenured. Tom Brady's preparation for that game is no different from the games he plays every game, because the system that New England run is so methodically and well oiled, and it's geared toward getting to that level. I think even when that game starts, I think, let's just take Atlanta. Atlanta played that game last year as if it was all in one half. They threw everything they could out there, but they forgot it was the second half. You notice Tom Brady in that game, by him having the seniority that he had, he played it within their system, took advantage of opportunities, never allowed the game to be too big for him. It got too big for Atlanta. We all know that now. We all saw it. And found a way to do the things that are that equates to a balance in their system. And even, let's do the term lose, even if Tom Brady loses or if a loss comes from this game, he has still won by getting to the game. Because all that equates to everything that he has contributed in his 40-year career. Excuse me, not 40-year career, but in his career. His career.
He's been playing that long.
Yeah. But, you know, and look at it, too, and he's a model of a player that was not really recognized as a top-rated quarterback, even in a draft. And sometimes you have to look at, it's not always how much talent that you have. It's how you can blend in a system. Because if you look at what he does, he doesn't ever overexert himself. None of us know how fast he can run, because that's not part of it anyway. But we all know one thing. We're not gonna get up from the television to the game over with, right?
Right.
So let's take the LOSE out of it. He comes to WIN every time out.
Every time. All right.
All right. I'm noticing right now that Brady is probably gonna be labeled as one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. Even if he loses this game, he still will be labeled. I think he will have that label. No matter how they say he got it, deflating the balls or whatnot, I still think he's a great quarterback. The way Brady is playing, is no decline. And I don't know if he's thinking about retiring, but it's no decline in Brady's game. I done seen so many players that they brought in just to play with him, and they all get the system, and they roll, man. I think for the Patriots to decline, I think it will be from the top to the bottom. I think it'll have to be with ownership, and, you know, like they're going through this bickering with the coach and stuff like that. I think that'll be the decline of the Patriots. I don't think they'll decline as far as what the players are doing as far as Brady.
I'm going to go ahead and say it like this. That's all I'm going to say. Brady is like how LeBron is to the NBA. We know he's the king. We know he's the greatest. He's the one. No matter what he does, his legacy will be that he was the one. So when they lose a draw Sunday, Tom Brady goes down, retired this year night, he still is going to be known as the greatest quarterback. I cannot stand Tom Brady personally. I don't like him. But I got to give a man his credit, got to give a man his props. He's probably one of the greatest quarterbacks, the greatest NFL. So he can lose Sunday, and he's still the greatest. He can win Sunday, and he'll be considered the greatest as well.
And to add kind of a little bit and kind of taper this off right quick, we want to make sure we give our call-in number. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1, it will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then it asks you to introduce yourself and your location. Just to kind of add to that, you know, Tom Brady has been in the league, but, you know, been to all 8 of the Super Bowls, I believe. And go to 8 Super Bowls and win six of them is amazing. And we keep forgetting about who's coaching him. We keep forgetting who Belichick. Belichick is, you know, he's become an all-time himself because of the 8 he has taken them there. And it is so amazing. You're talking about professional athletes that can go from free agent, from team to team to team, for whatever the money is. But every year they seem like they find the unhappy free agent. You know, that linebacker from Pittsburgh, he ain't playing enough. He ain't playing enough, right? So what next thing you know, you get Harrison come there. What? Hold up. And he gets in the first game. He get there. He get 2 sacks. He had 5 sacks all season with Pittsburgh. But you know that thing about winning and knowing you're going to win makes you play a little bit different. And I think that's what's happening with the Patriots. They can bring these players in, man, all the time, no matter who they are. They bring them in. So, you know, we'll look at it that way and say New England as the organization is one of the top, is the best organization at this time. And I haven't seen one like this in a long time. It starts at the top, as it was said. The decline will come from the top, all the bickering up there to the point that it moved down to the bottom.
Another point of emphasis is that the listeners need to know is that that's also where Nick Saban used to be. He was an assistant coach with Belichick.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So class and success extend.
Somebody need to mute. They mute. We got some feed. All right. Go ahead on. Go on. Worth.
Yes, what I was saying was, you know, if you look at Alabama's program, it's a end result of the systematic way that New England runs there, and Nick and Belichick have been together before. Mm-hmm. Nick being an assistant with him way back in the day. So it shows that you know, the end result is. Class and success extends itself.
Exactly. Okay. All right, we're going to move to our next topic. We got about 2 more we want to touch bases on, and the next one will be in regards to what's been in the news about Michigan State. It says, should Michigan State get the death penalty for the sexual abuse of Dr. Larry Nassar, criminal acts? And also, is it possible that some other iconic people at the Michigan State should either resign or be fired?
Yeah. Oh, let me step in and start this one. I was watching, I think it was Sunday night, the E60. They already got the E60 on there. I don't know if they've been waiting on it, or they knew it was going to happen. I feel like this. I'm going to say this. I'm gonna agree with Magic Johnson. I feel like if the coaches knew that kids were doing this, I feel like they need to fire the whole coaching staff that they have, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, whatever it is, because the way the kids are explaining it and the campus police are explaining it is the coaches knew. And they did the discipline on their own, which are very – well, what they're saying are very serious crimes. Like, the crimes are very serious. Some cases such as rape, some such as harassment. But I feel like the coaches really did sweep it under the rug. And not to say this not going on at every other school. I just feel like they are just caught up right now. So if all this happened, which they are saying is, they do need a death penalty.
Well,
I'm going to go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, Lauren. All right, Lauren.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. I believe that these coaches knew about this because, for example, Tom Izzo knew about the situation with Adrian Payne, one of his former players. He knew about the situation, and his discipline for the situation did not fit the crime. He did a tap punishment. You can't do that when people are accusing or filing reports on your players. You must discipline them. And then it went back to say that the NCAA president knew about some of these cases. Come on now, you gotta clean the house. I'm at that point. You gotta clean the house. If you knew about it, you gotta go.
Hey, before we move on, we got a question. Your last four digits is 6291. State who you are and where you're from. Last four digits, 6291. Are we going to be able to get you on? So you got a question. I was trying to let you get on. 6291, last four digits of your telephone number. Okay, but we'll kind of get back. We're kind of limiting our time, and I think as long as the investigation is going, there's going to be some continued discussion about this, and there's going to be some heads falling. A lot of people, your iconic individuals may fall through this process. No one going to slide through the crack. So we'll look forward to see more things happening in the future in regards to Michigan State and to see how it's going to be addressed, not by just the legal system, but also the NCAA. All right, we're going to kind of move to a couple more topics and discussion of some high school and middle school playoff brackets and results. And I will start with Coach Edwards. He can kind of share some thoughts about the Huntsville City Middle School basketball playoff.
My Chapman Indian girls and boys made it to the second round of playoffs. We are now in the semifinals. We play tomorrow. The girls play Huntsville Middle at 5 o'clock at Grissom High School, and the boys play Challenger Middle at 6:30 at Grissom High School. Should be two challenging games, trying to get to the championship again and hopefully bring home the gold on both sides.
All right. And good luck to each and every one of your teams, as well as all of the schools in Huntsville City Schools, the middle school bracket of it. I just want to add a few things, and I'll let the other co-hosts jump in with some thoughts. With the city of Montgomery, we have the brackets that was put out, and they played down to the championship, which will be tomorrow. As of my receiving some information, the championship is going to be played at Carver High School, starting at 4:30 with the seventh grade boys and the four that competed was Goodwin versus McKee, Carr versus Bella, Brubaker. And the girls, I really didn't get the brackets on the girls, but their championship game is 5:45 tomorrow at Carver High School. And the eighth grade boys at Carver High School at 7 o'clock will be McKee versus Carr. So you'll get a chance to, again, see McKee back in it again. And if you have some free time, just go over to Carver High School starting at 4:30. The admission is $7. So you can go and support the young men and women as well as up in Huntsville. You go over to Grissom High School, and you can support each of those teams participating in the middle school's playoff in Huntsville, Alabama. Any other thoughts in regards to maybe high school and middle school? If we want to share some thoughts, co-host.
I think the greatest thing that could ever happen for middle school students is to have that type of opportunity to be in some type of championship play. It also gives the high school coaches an opportunity to evaluate them and see them competing and in a competitive atmosphere. Ninth graders are coming in with that type of accomplishment, or should I say coming in being in that type of competitiveness can actually help most schools. Because what you got to look at, especially in the city of Montgomery, there are no small schools. There are none. Unless you go to private schools, and they aren't real small. I think the smallest private school is probably 4A. So you're looking at 6A, 7A level. So those ninth graders that come in, if they're coming out of competition of that nature, it gives them an opportunity to come in and at least be prepared to move on at that level and have, let's say, three and a half good years at the high school level.
Yeah, and that's awesome. Coach Smith, you want to add anything in that area, whether high school or even middle school, you want to share with our audience? Yes, sir.
Yes, area tournament start next week, don't they? Am I correct?
Correct. Start.
Yeah, thank you. Every time you start next week, go out and support the local schools. I know basketball in Montgomery was pretty even this year. It really wasn't a game that I didn't want to go to, but I was very proud and I'm very excited to see what these Montgomery schools do in the playoffs. I have my predictions of what I think will happen, but we all know how that goes, so I'll save that for myself. So just get out next week and support your local high schools as they gear up for a state championship run.
And that's awesome. Jessica,
Millennium Smith,
go ahead on.
Millennium Smith, I just got a text message from somebody that called, but they wanted to remind you that Carl was undefeated in the city. I'm just sharing that.
That had to be Coach Jackson, maybe.
You know it was.
But Coach Jackson, congratulations. That means you're listening. If somebody listening, we appreciate you listening. I was going to get to that. Carver won the area in the regular season. We'll be hosting the tournament over there where they'll be waiting on the one between Park Crossing and Lanier, which will be playing. And then on the girls' side of the 6A, you have Lanier girls winning the area. That means Carver, they'll be playing at Lanier, and Carver and Park Crossing will play on the first night. Now, the tournament start, you know.
Dr. Smith?
Say it again.
The girls.
What was that?
That was a coin toss. The girls,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a coin toss because they split. They split down on that head-to-head competition. So that all came out. So it's going to be all over the state of Alabama next week. Area tournaments are going to be going on. Matter of fact, through Alabama Sports Festival Foundation, I'll be working with, I'll be traveling to South Alabama in the first part of the week, then up to North Alabama up there to get an opportunity to see some of those teams up there in the aerial tournament. Then, and as we move forward, Coach Starworth, can you share with us what would occur after they finish with the aerial tournament?
After the aerial tournament, teams that win their area will host what you call a sub-regional game. A team that has played that lost in the area tournament, in other words, area tournament in basketball, it gives you more than, I mean, all year long you got more than one chance because you play every team twice. But if you make it to the final of the area tournament, you still got another day left. And the sub-regional games are some very good games because you can look at a situation where let's use Cobb and Lanier. Cobb and Lanier meets in the final, and Cobb wins. They're host. Lanier will travel. If they win, those two teams got an opportunity now to see each other in the regional. So it's the basketball has a way of keeping opportunities. That's the word I'm telling you. Opportunities. You're never dead if you can win that what we call the go game. We call it the go or the stay. Go or the stay. I mean, if you win at home, you stay. If you lose it in that place, you go somewhere else. But when you go somewhere else, you go into somebody else's winner. So I think that sub-regional game is an advantage over all other sports because it keeps us from being one and done.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. We want you to go out and support your school and also call in next week to our show. We'll be on every Wednesday. The time for our show is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Call-in number is 347-857-4192. So next week, make sure you join us. And on tomorrow night, we have Coach Lauren and I will be doing a Talking Real to You, which is a show dealing with just plain old life issues. And we'll be at the same number, and we'll just look at social, economic, political issues, and we'll talk about it, everything that's going on in America tomorrow. So we're about to conclude that. We want to close it out. So let's close it out, team. How you feel comfortable with doing it?
This has been a great time for me. I just want to tell all the listeners, have a great day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you.
All right.
I'm glad talking to you guys tonight. Love these issues, man. I'm already ready for next week. I wish we can do it every day of the week. I love these issues. Y'all have a good night, and I'll talk to y'all next Wednesday.
Let's go ahead and tune in tomorrow night for Talking Real to You. Have a great time on there. Great issues, great topics, great way for you to end your Thursday night. I enjoy this show right here. This is really what I love to do right here, talking sports, getting opinions out. Make sure you go support area tournament next week. Find your local school, support them, and see you at the state championship on the road to Birmingham.
All right, then. All right, Melania Smith. All right, y'all also have an awesome night, and we're going to close it out with some Tupac California love, and y'all can – you can enjoy that. So have an awesome week. We'll have you tomorrow night. Call in the same number, 347-857-4192, and talk with us, Talking Real to You, hosted by myself, Loretta Smith, and Lauren Smith. It's a family affair. Good night.
Where you you never find a dance floor empty and pimp speed. On a mission for them greens, lean, mean, money making machines, serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Ever since Honeys was wearing Sassoon.